Let's go to Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. I'll read the first one and you follow. Verse 1, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Why does this fellow talk like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up, take your mat, and walk"? I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Thank you. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we come to you and we are waiting upon you. Give us the heart of poor spirit so we may be filled by your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. This situation that the Lord has done, actually, we knew at the stage that Jesus wanted to demonstrate the faith that Christian will go through, he need to use something that can be understood and also can be viewed or seen, so people maybe extend the faith that he would like to see. From this occasion that we have read, Jesus used a paralytic situation that if I can heal this paralytic, then you can see what happened. And after you have seen this situation or this result, then you may be able to extend your faith that for those you are not able to see. So that's why Jesus said, which one is easier, to forgive sins or to ask this paralytic to get up and take the mat and walk? And we can tell that forgive sin may be just lip service. At that time, maybe the crazy person who doesn't understand the law of God, then he can just spoke out and say, "You have sin forgiven." Because this, nobody can tell whether that happened or not. But to ask a paralytic to stand up, to get up and take the mat and walk, most of people would believe that this is much, much more difficult. And Jesus used this occasion to demonstrate that if I can ask a paralytic to get up, take the mat and walk, and you see that, then you can believe that I can forgive sin because you cannot see. And this is our faith, how we grow our faith. Through certain evidence that we may be able to see or realize or understand, and then we can extend our faith. So always try to check our own faith, which portion that we already got the evidence, the fact. Then we always need to start from there to extend. The extension of that faith please our Lord. And I would like to share with you from a paralytic person to a free man can walk, there are many steps that we would learn from this lesson. Let's look at, focus on this person, the paralytic. The first step of that paralytic is knowing that I am a paralytic. Otherwise, there's no beginning. Sometimes we thought, sure, you should know. You know, look around, you should know. But we would like to try to get into the spiritual journey that you and I are really heading. For that paralytic, how he know that he is a paralytic? It's a simple question. How? Because by his eyes, he will see the people around him, right? They can walk, but he cannot. They can use their hands to do the stuff. He cannot. So through that comparison, he can realize, I am a paralytic. Something they can do, but I cannot. So in our journey as a Christian, how do I know I'm a paralytic? Or maybe somebody else will know that they are paralytic. If the people around that person, everyone are paralytic from the birth of that person, then that person will never understand that he is a paralytic. So for the Christian journey, how we demonstrate to people that you are paralytic is they can see a healthy Christian. From them, they reflect to them that they'll start to realize, I got something paralyzed. I'm not able to function as a right Christian, a healthy Christian. So this is very important. If a church, there are so many paralytic, then people maybe come in, they look at them, they thought, well, I have no big difference from these people. I'm okay. I should be okay. Then this is a problem. This is a problem. But if most of people are very healthy, they are all healthy Christian, then a person came in and then started to notice those healthy Christian, how they speak, how they work, how they do. Then that reflection to them, they will start to realize, I got something paralyzed. So to know I am a paralytic is the first step. And this is a very, very important for anyone. So that's why also for the responsibility to Christian, if we don't live a life as a healthy Christian, this world would never know what's wrong with me. Because you look out outside the world, if through Jesus' eyes, so many paralytics outside. And we need to show them. So for this person, he should know that I am a paralytic. And the second step is he need to know I need Jesus' help. I need Jesus' rescue. I need Jesus to save me. And this person actually, a paralyzed person means he stays on the bed all the time. He cannot move. He cannot do anything. Totally paralyzed. So only the people approach him or reach him to tell him, you recognize you are paralytic, but I let me tell you, there's a chance. I know there's a person named Jesus. He healed quite a few people. So he need to know that I need Jesus' help. I need him to rescue me. So these two factors, that is the responsibilities, really rely upon the healthy Christian. And once the person understands that there's a hope, Jesus can save, then the third one will be the willingness to go to Jesus. Because that's why the message to pass on to the people is so important. We live in the church or church life. We thought this is a norm. But actually for outside people, I have met quite a few people, even though they heard about church, about even Jesus' name or even the cross, but they don't really know how Jesus saved and the need that Jesus really can rescue. And until they heard the message, until they heard the information, then the willingness will come out from their heart. This is the third step, very important. So once we reach people, reach our friend, you will sense when their willingness come out. And that is the timing. And then fourth one is when they were brought to Jesus, they need to have that willingness to receive Jesus' forgiveness. And when Jesus saw that person, he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." So that means that person caused him to be paralyzed is because of his sins. In spirituality, anyone who committed sins surely will be either partially or totally paralyzed from God's view. That is for sure. See, a paralyzed person is, I cannot even live my own life by myself. I need help, otherwise I cannot survive. That's called paralyzed. So nowadays, in the church, with Jesus' eye, look around. If you cannot survive just by yourself, you cannot live an independent Christian life, you are paralyzed or partially paralyzed. Do you find the food that you need for your spirit? Or you only ask somebody to feed you all the time? See, the message the pastor can provide on Sunday service, that should be just appetizer. If pastor message became your main dish, I'm sorry, you're paralyzed. Because you need somebody to feed you. So we need to understand and use Jesus' eye, look around our brother and sister. Maybe someone needs your help. They need you to feed them. They are not strong enough. They cannot live in an independent Christian life. So I try to put it like an 8-step. So you will see actually for even yourself, where are you? And willingness to receive Jesus' forgiveness so my paralyzed situation can improve. And then after Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." This is a huge jump for that person. Nobody know what happened, but that paralyzed person should know, right? Inside of his heart, the sin are forgiven. This is something real, because Jesus said that, right? So inside of his heart, he should experience something differently. It's not just like Jesus said something and that's it. We always regard miracle just like a miracle. That means nothing happened, just all of a sudden. I don't know what happened, but just happened. No, that's not true. The spiritual miracle. When Jesus says, "Son, your sins are forgiven," inside of him, he will feel the burden of the sin that crushed him in the past all of a sudden came off. And then he should receive the peace after repentance and the sin forgiven. Because for a paralyzed person, the whole life being paralyzed, the very first step to ask him to get up will be extremely difficult. You will see a person like him shaking and try to grab something, you know, this kind of a just like a blind person never see his eye at the first sight, open his eyes, that is also very difficult. So he needs some faith to stand up. So Jesus says, son, your sins are forgiven. He should experience something inside. Well, let me roll it back here. I'd like to share with you, Christians. Have you truly ever experienced your sin truly forgiven? You felt that, boom, the burden gone. Overwhelming peace fill your heart. This is so important because nowadays, the preacher just try to get a quick fix. Raise your hand, your sin forgiven. Oh, you are saved, hallelujah. But that person didn't really experience that sin were forgiven. This is a very, very dedicated process. Sin forgiven, before that, you should really experience the repentance. You will feel so sorry to God. I'm so sorry. You created according to your image and likeness, but I don't live that life. I feel so sorry. God, sorry, I'm so sorry. Through this, then Jesus said, your sin forgiven, you will feel release and relief. Christian, if you don't experience that in the future for the journey, you're going to have run into a very difficult time because you don't know how God's guidance in your life. You won't know. You're just guessing. You just try to every time try the apple and orange and just guessing, jiggering around. You don't know which way is the right way that God provides you. But you did experience that peace after sin forgiven, after your repentance. That peace is an index. It's a signal for you. So in the future, if you felt that you were led in this direction, that you believe that God's guidance is toward this direction, then you start to move toward that direction, that peace will start to increase and increase and increase. Then you know this is the right way. If you choose the other way, you thought that's God's guidance, but you move toward that direction, that peace decrease and decrease and decrease. Then you know this is not God guidance. That peace is so important. Otherwise, you always choose by your brain, not by the Holy Spirit guidance. And that can make a significant difference in your Christian journey. So Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. He should experience something, the peace after repentance. And that means he can move a little bit even forward. Because firstly, I realized I'm a paralytic. And then I heard people talking about Jesus can save. So I got some faith, but this faith is very shallow. It's kind of a tiny, tiny bit faith. But then I got the willingness to come to Jesus and then believe his forgiveness. Boy, I got something. That started to extend your faith. And that forgiveness, that peace become your, belong to you. That's a fact that you possess. Then the next step, Jesus found that he received the forgiveness. Then Jesus started to come up with four commands. And these four are very, very important. The first one is, I tell you. I tell you, right? When Jesus tell you, when Jesus speak to you, what is your response? You listen carefully. You listen and you need to receive what he said. And this is exactly the way that when you open the Bible, when you open the Bible, you need to regard, every time the Bible was opened, that is a time that God gonna tell you something, God gonna speak to you. So after the sin forgiven, after the faith start to grow, The next one will be, you need to receive His word. He will tell you through the Bible. So you need to read the Bible. You need to, you know, really study it. Allow Him to talk to you. And then the next step is get up. This is the most difficult part. Get up. For Christian, actually, to get up, there's a controversial here, is whether I need to work hard to earn it. But for Christian, actually, is to get up is, Jesus said, get up means I will supply you the power. So you should experience the Holy Spirit, the grace that God is going to provide you. So for Christian, actually, to get up is even also rely upon His supply, the power that He will give you. And then we, based on that power, then we can be follow Him. So that only trick we should have is just obey. So once you read the Bible, you've been touched for certain verses. That is the part that God gonna provide you the grace, the power to carry on. So you can. Once you are touched by certain verses, not the whole scripture, certain verses, that means God say, I'm gonna ask you to obey, and I will give you sufficient grace and power so you can. He will provide. So to read the Bible is so important. When you read, there are certain verses will connect to you. That is the beginning that you experience His provision. And you just obey. Once you obey, you will see the power just come down. The power will touch you and lift you up. So you can get up. And this is talking about our serving the Lord for our ministry. A Christian, when the time has come, you start to receive His word after sin forgiven. You receive His word. Come along with that. If you willing to obey, to surrender your will, then you will see you can. In the seventh wilderness, Jesus say, take your mat. Take your mat. The most precious stuff for the paralyzed person, for this paralytic, is his mat. That mat is his comfort. That is his comfortable zone. Every time he fell on the mat, whatever, even I'm a paralytic, but whenever I fell on that mat, that is my comfort. And that is the only comfort I have. I get used to the mat. But Jesus said, take up the mat. Not let the mat carry you, but you take him. You take it. You overcome it. And this for a Christian, the mat actually is represent our old self, our old habit, our old me. I have heard people talking to me like, I just love to talk. This is my style. That's old me. I don't want to be forced to do something. I don't want to be compelled. I just want to do my way. I enjoy freedom. I don't want to be bonded by the church, by the cell group. I just want to be me. Jesus asks you, take your mat. Don't let the mat control you. You control the mat. If you don't take the mat, that means you still sit on your own throne. You're still the king. See, for this journey, there is a time that our will need to be bent by our Lord. for certain occasion, even your personality or your character need to be turned, need to be adjusted by our Lord. See, when we approach people for the gospel, we cannot only find those people that fit our style. We can. That's why Paul said, to Jew, I'll be Jew, right? To Gentile, I'll be Gentile. I need to change myself to fit that. If Paul insists, I still want to sit on my mat, there's no way the gospel can be reach other people. It's impossible. We can find all kinds of excuse and escape, and we try to insist something because I feel comfortable. I get used to this. I just want to stick with this. I don't want to change. But you just take up your mat. Maybe we didn't follow that way. We still are paralytic, because Jesus cannot use for certain part for his ministry. Until we take up the mat, until we control our own self. Paul has said, no, I be my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. He beat himself, he beat his body, and make his body a slave. That means I can control my body cannot control me. My habit, I can control my habit. I can control my style. I can control my character. I can control my personality. That is just only my slave for the purpose to serve Almighty. I have met Christians that were not willing to change themselves. They asked the whole church to change to fit themselves. Have you ever changed for Christ's sake? Even unpleasantly, are you willing? If not, you are still a paralytic. Maybe partially, paralyzed. And the last one is that paralytic, he should have a willingness to walk out. Because Jesus asked him to walk out. Take the mat and walk out. In front of everyone. That means that is the witness. And when he walked out, he's a free man. He's a healthy person. And he got the capability to help another paralytic. Have you ever helped somebody to reach Jesus? Can you remember the people's name that you helped and they later became a Christian? Try to use your finger to count how many. That's a challenge. Until then, in front of Jesus, we are still a paralytic. This is step by step. Hopefully everyone should get there. Through this step, hopefully you find where are you. See, if you are at step three, let me try to illustrate here. If you are at step three, you can help people step one and step two. But you're never able to help people at step three or even four, five, six. You are not able. So this is the way you can verify how many people you can help and you can serve. And we see this paralytic person lying on the mat change to take up the mat and walk in front of everyone. We knew that at the very beginning he needs help. And four people carry him to Jesus. Nowadays we became a Christian. We became Christians. You surely got some friends. You surely got some friends. In the past, they carry you to Jesus. How fortunately, if you become a Christian, that tells us you got some friends. But now I should ask you, would you be a friend of somebody else? How to be a friend? If you want to be somebody's friend, to help them to Jesus, you need to have faith and confidence upon Jesus. And also you need to have abundance of love and mercy and compassion and that zeal. And thirdly, if you want to help somebody to Jesus, it's not a one-man show. It's not a one-man show. They carry by four men, four people. So you need to cooperate with other people. You need to work in harmony, like a teamwork. I remember when I was in elementary school, we got a competition. And that competition is pretty similar to the one shown here. We use a blanket and four students, and we put one student inside the blanket. So we always choose the smallest one, the smallest, the shortest student, or the lightest in the mattress. And then we carry that little one and run a distance. And that competition, we ran the very first, arrived at the finish line. But we fell, because during the trip, the little one fell off. We didn't notice. So surely we will become the first one. That require cooperation, a teamwork. Everyone need to work together. See, maybe a friend that we approach or the friend come here, we need some people work together as a team to help that paralytic person. That require cooperation, the teamwork. And the fourth one is they need patience, endure, and not give up. See, when they took that paralytic to the house, actually, not only the inside of the house is packed, but also the outside the door is also totally crowded. They got a good excuse, say, well, let's wait next time. Or let's just go home, take it back. But they refused to give up. They just try to find any way, somehow, just find any way to get this person to Jesus. So later they found that the only way is from the top, from the roof. And the fifth one is they need to focus, because the only thing they care actually is this person, how this person can get to Jesus. They only focus on this, nothing else. They concentrate as a mission. They won't give up, whatever the price paid. So they let Peter pay the price of the roof. They take it off. And the sixth one is they need handle with care. They need a lot of caution, because this paralyzed person is a hurting person, a wounded person. How to treat this person, they need a lot of care. Sometimes we didn't know the people who pray for us before we got saved. You can be that one. But also you can be the one to reach them, talk to them, witness to them, and let them know that there's a cure. There is the only cure that sin can be forgiven. If you are the paralytic, there are a step that you know how to get to be cured, how to be a healthy, a strong one. Step by step, maybe you are in the middle. Don't hesitate to ask help. I found Christian is very, very amazing. Is you knew where you are, but you don't ask help. Maybe for you don't feel the desire to read the Bible. Maybe you ask someone that they know how to read the Bible. You ask them, please help me to teach me how to read Bible, or how to pray, or how to serve. Just ask them, so you can move to the next step. But don't forget, at the same time, maybe you are at step 5, try to help people at step 1, 2, and 3, and 4. You still got some availability. You still got some capability to help those people. And that will help you get strong. May this very, very, let me call irritating message help you to see people by Jesus' eye and help by Jesus' hand. Let us pray. Father, we come to you. We thank you so very much. We were paralytic in the past. Through those friends that you sent, they were blessed by you, and they came to help. They tried every avenue to encourage us, sometimes even provoke us. But they pay the price. They care because they care. And they reach us and help us and carry us to you. And we thank you so very much that our sins are forgiven. Lord, we want to move forward. We want to listen to you. So continue to speak to us. And Lord, with your power, with your spirit, help us to get up. To get up. And take the mat. Deny ourselves. And walk. And Lord, give us the thanksgiving heart. Look around us. Some people waiting for that help. Let us be that friend. Let us call other friends so we can carry this person to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Shall we all rise as we sing our hymn of invitation this morning? Let us open our hymnals to hymn number 306, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian. And that's hymn number 306, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian.
If you need prayer, that you feel that you are not get to the step 8 yet, you can come forward and let us pray together.
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. In my heart. In my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart. In my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart. In my heart. In my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart. Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart. In my heart, Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart. In my heart. In my heart. Lord, I want to be more holy in my heart. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. In my heart, Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart. In my heart. In my heart. Lord, I want to be like Jesus in my heart.
Thank you. Please be seated.